Okay, we're Rooster. Casting officially. This will be bonus content. So
more
only
bonus.
Our forum listeners get to hear this, along That's with our right. Tron Legacy review. If you haven't heard that yet, go listen.
I think they would need to...
That's not entirely true. Maybe they're more interested in True Grit.
Oh, yeah.
And they go and they click on that.
If you want to hear terrible audio quality and three guys just ramble
yep.
about Tron, half of it
tangentially.
Genital wartily.
Tangentially.
having to do a Tron, then, you know, by all means, download that. Check it out.
Speaking of Tron and now I can't say it. Speaking of Tron and genitals, did you know that Playboy did a spread called Game On where they did, like, nude Tron stuff?
Is Felicia Day in it?
Why would she be in it?
Because she's a gamer girl, and I don't know. It seems like she needs exposure.
No, it's not about games. It's about Tron.
Well, then why do they call it Game On?
Light cycles, gaming, yeah.
That kind of sounds hot.
I checked out some of the pictures. Not bad.
I thought about subscribing, and I thought it again because I watched the holiday edition of Penny Arcade TV, mm-hmm. where they had all their office Christmas party, and Mike, who is gay on the strip, gave one of the interns a 2-year subscription to Playboy.
Nice.
And a coffee table book called Girls Kissing. And it was nothing but high quality, tastefully done
nice.
Pictures of girls kissing.
Very nice.
I liked it.
Yeah. So anyway.
You might say that gift showed grit.
True grit or pseudo grit?
True grit.
Nice. Good segue, man.
Thank you. That's why I'm here.
Save those good segues for the real show. This is just bonus shit.
I'm just flexing.
Okay. All right.
Showing unwarranted self-importance how it's done.
So here it is, December 25th. I believe this is what the people refer to as Christmas Day.
Yes.
We are in the Bald Cave, or the Bald Tower, sorry, casting it up.
We spent time with our friends. We spent time with our family. Now we're giving back to you, the listeners.
Yep. And we have not yet had our Chinese food, which is tradition.
Yes. Let's go sacrifice a duck.
But we went and saw True Grit, and
saw the original True Grit last week.
We did, yeah.
And I am a big fan of John Wayne, and he had some awesome lines. I found it incredibly hard to follow.
As did I.
And I didn't know if it was just the way the girl was talking or how the primitive form of cinema was communicating information, but I found that this plot, I actually understood the original movie much better now.
Oh, by viewing this, you understood the original better.
Yeah, because I think it followed fairly closely, at least the book, and in broad strokes, the John Wayne movie.
Well, I remember so little of the original True Grit that I'm actually not sure how the two relate. Hmm. I know I remember the dude named Cockburn.
Surely you remember.
I definitely remember Cockburn.
You remember the courtroom scene. And you remember,
I remember the
big, mm-hmm. you know, when the fill your hands, you son of a bitch line.
Sure,
so,
sure.
All right, well, that's the movie.
That's it, courtroom. They should have just made it they could have made it a trailer. And I want to talk about that a little bit.
All right.
Because I went into this movie, I think, in the totally wrong mindset.
You thought it was going to be like a comedy.
Fuck no.
Oh, okay.
No, every trailer I've seen has been showing the lines, fill your hands, you son of a bitch, and like... all this action and stuff like that, this was nothing like what I expected.
Really?
Nothing. It set up nothing for it set up nothing like a traditional Western at all.
Huh.
In a traditional Western, you would typically see the dude come into the bar, kill somebody,
right.
you would see the crime in action, and then somebody would go on the manhunt.
Yep.
Show him on the trail, which they did. But the setup was nothing like a traditional Western.
You'd have like a cold open, but this was I think that's the Coen brothers trusting the audience.
Sure.
That we
sure.
can just start this in immediate, have a very brief narration of the girl, but she's older now, and you're just going to get all this.
Yeah, well... I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I actually like that because you can dispense with a lot of
the
old stuff that we don't need anymore.
And the original True Grit is way too long.
The original True Grit?
And I think a good 30 minutes of it happened before we even met John Wayne. So,
well, this is 2 hours. I mean, this is not a short film.
No.
This is a middle of the road.
It was, yeah. I actually think it's an hour 10, or it was 110 minutes, which is just under 2 hours, which I kind of expected like a 2.5-hour movie like the original. Anyway, it wasn't what you expected. What were you expecting?
No, I was expecting almost like an action Western film.
Wow.
I was expecting showdowns in the street. I was expecting everything you see in a traditional Western, and I almost got none of that from this film.
I thought the body count was fairly high for a Western.
Well, here's... It wasn't that high to me. Like, normally, in Westerns, you see people dying all over the place. In this, what, maybe six people die, if that?
Well, there's at least three people hung in the beginning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There is three people that died. Four people that died in that little cabin scene.
Mm-hmm.
Five people died at the end.
Yep.
So the little girl's hand died.
Two hands died, actually. You got the one dude gets fingers chopped off.
Oh, he just died.
Yeah.
He lost his soul.
His hand died first.
Yeah, definitely. Fingers. Fingers are the first thing to go.
Yep. No, you didn't get any of the traditional stuff like the showdown in the street. You didn't get the town-wide shootout.
No.
Like, you didn't see people shooting out of windows, and you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, this took place entirely in Choctaw territory, which I thought was cool. And
yeah, it was interesting.
The scenery. Whenever you get out into the wilderness of the United States where you don't see telephone poles and litter and all this stuff, I think it's like, holy crap, this is what the whole West looked like back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I it kind of ceases to become a period piece in my mind, and it's almost like I've went back in time, and I'm riding in that, and it just, like, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
I lose my awareness that this movie was shot a year ago.
Yeah, I do that, too. In Westerns, I'm always amazed by how much our country has changed,
mm-hmm.
and how much just the lifestyle of the people in America has changed since
sure.
then. It's really pretty amazing. But my problem with it, with what I was talking about with the comedy and stuff, is I felt like a lot of the comedy was misplaced.
Really?
I thought the courtroom scene up front was absolutely hilarious.
Right.
It was perfect. It introduced Jeff Bridges brilliantly. He was hilarious. You could obviously tell he was tough and he was not, like, going to be pushed over at all.
Right.
And he was doing things his own way.
Yeah, and he wasn't ignorant.
Yeah.
But he also wasn't book smart.
Sure,
I mean, he was nobody's fool, but he also, you know.
Yeah, he was street smart. He was.
Right.
He knew what he was doing from experience. And that will play into a theme later on. But I thought once it got rolling a little bit, they threw in too much comedy. Like, I expected this to be more film noir style, like they do, but they seem to take it in more of a comedy direction. Like, every time I expected a tone to carry through into a scene, like out of a scene and go into another scene, they'd throw in a one-liner. And I felt like they were misplaced. Like, in the cabin scene where the guy kills him with the knife and then Cockburn shoots him dead in the face.
And blood splashed onto his face.
And there's this silent moment.
Yeah.
And this music, and you've got this tone, like this serious tone, and they throw a joke in.
Shit got real. But I love that.
I don't. I want, like, the whole point of cinema is to make me feel something. And that just takes me right out of it.
But see, I think that was Rooster's character, that, like, you know, there's, like, this some horrific shit, and it would start to sink in, and then he's like, you know, and make some laconic joke about it.
I can understand that, but maybe his character is not suited for the screen, then. I mean,
plus, I thought that they were painting him that he was kind of an outlaw himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was not some... I thought they did a much better job with him than John Wayne of, like, this guy is like a gray hat.
Yeah, John Wayne feels, like, John Wayne the person feels too nice.
Yes.
Too
lawful. Too heroic.
Yeah.
When Jeff Bridges got this, you know, like, he's barely talking with his mouth open. And I don't know. I loved all the jokes. I loved him giving the business to Matt Damon's Texas Ranger.
Sure.
I loved the constant just, like, smart remarks about, like, but it's, like, really streetwise. Like, he would lay out all these, like, almost detective observations.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd, like, but I reckon they went north because there's more to rob, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, just, you really got this sense that he...
He understood, like, the criminal mind because he's kind of a criminal himself.
Right.
And it wasn't one of, like, I don't know, I can't think of the movie right now, but where they, like, know intimately the criminal mind. Like,
no.
They've studied psychology. This dude knows it because he's been there, he's done that, he's seen it all.
He knows who leads this gang because he probably ran with them at one time.
Probably,
you know? And he knows where they...
ran with someone who did.
Yeah, and he knows where they hide out in the silver mine because he's done it too. And
Yep. And I thought that was cool. And I just want to say, I really love Jeff Bridges' performance. He's fantastic in this.
I gotta say, he didn't out John Wayne, but I think he out Rooster Cockburn John Wayne, because he just became that character.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, he had the method acting going for
him. Oh, yeah.
I don't know that John Wayne was too familiar with that.
Right, right.
Who knows?
And also, I thought the girl was amazing.
The girl was very good. The scene where she's bartering for the horses and the money
was so fun. Unbelievable. And then when he came back, and she had just beat this banker, this kind of shyster guy, into submission for like $350. And made him buy back her ponies and all this. And then he was complaining about the fact that he had all these ponies that he couldn't sell. And she's like, "Oh, really? You're gonna have a hard time getting rid of him?" He's like, "I just had this offer for like a meat rendering plant, but it's probably going to fall through and all that." And she's like, "Oh, well, I'll give you the price he just named. And then he's like, "Oh God, are we bartering again?"
And then it cuts directly to her taking one of the horses,
right? Yeah.
And, so I thought that was cool.
Oh, she was just really, really, I don't know how old she was. I would buy that she's 14.
I would too.
And I also love that every one of the characters, even like the villains, came to at least respect her.
Sure.
You kind of thought that she was going to wuss out of shooting the dude, she just shot him, and even he was like, "Didn't think you're going to do that."
Going back to the bartering, I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with Aaron's bartering styles, but I was sitting in the theater thinking, Aaron must be loving this.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He must be eating this with a freaking golden spoon.
Because that's what it's about. You bend people over barrels. And
leverage, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you put in a, unless you put a literal gun to someone's head, anything you get out of them just by talking is something they want to do anyway. It's social engineering at best. Yeah, I love. We have a barter cast.
Yeah, we should, because you love to talk about it. He's advised me in the ways of bartering many a time. Yep. Saved me a few $100 over the years.
Yep.
Anyway. So I do want to say, like, overall, I do like the movie. I just felt like there were some misplaced things in it.
So besides the comedy, which again, I thought, because otherwise you just have this very depressing tale. And I thought that the comedy was this rated R, by the way? It had to be.
It had to have been, because the blood, I mean, the violence.
The brutal hanging. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know.
See, it might have been PG-13. That gets me, man. Like, they set it up with that hanging. Like, it was going to be this. They did it with the hanging, too. They did a joke right after the hanging. Or during the hanging, the Indian guy spoke and said,
"Yeah,
I just want to say before I die," and they put a hood over his head and dropped him immediately.
No one cares what an Indian. Like, and there was a lot of racist stuff.
Oh, tons of it, which you can get away with in a Western because it's the time.
Right, but still, it's kind of like shocking, like him kicking those Indian children.
It was very shocking, the brutality on the children.
Yeah.
But the thing about the hanging is, I almost felt like they were going to set up this real gritty style, which would have been in line with the film noir and the film itself.
So you want to see a film noir cowboy western?
They could do the comedy. I think you just have to pace it right. I think if they had paced it up front comedy and then started getting building the serious tone and the violence by the end, you need it to be absolutely deadly serious. You're not talking about selling flowers to somebody. You're talking about going and hunting people down and killing them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a comedy subject. And I know the Coen brothers typically do that. They take hilarious things, or they take really serious, horrible things and turn them into comedy. But I don't feel it was right for this movie.
I don't know. If you've ever read any, or looked at documentaries or read any books about military actions and law enforcement actions, and if you haven't and you'd like to, I'd recommend Mark Bowden's Killing Pablo, which is about the manhunt and execution of the drug lord Pablo Escobar, or Black Hawk Down, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, but the book is way better than the movie. Huh. These guys, in the middle of this deadly situation, they crack jokes and make light all the time. And I think it's the human way of dealing with, you can either sit down, shit your pants, and cry, or you can turn off your human emotions and crack jokes at the people that you're killing's expense.
Sure, sure.
So
I just wonder if maybe that's true. Like, I'm sure it is, but I don't feel like that part of it belongs in cinema. Like, I'm there for the ride. I'm there for the experience. I want to feel as much of that experience as I can. And so I felt it was watered down by the comedy.
You must have liked Unforgiven.
I don't know if I've seen
the Clint Eastwood.
To be honest,
like the last. Well, they call it the first Western that Hollywood had made in a long time, but it won a lot of Academy Awards. It had Clint Eastwood in it. Him getting vengeance for a whorehouse that a gangster had sliced up on these girls' faces and couldn't get no justice because they're just whores. So they all pooled their money together and hired Clint Eastwood, that was a hired, old retired gunslinger.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, that, if you want an unflinching, not very funny look at the Western, then I'd check that out. But I liked it. It was pretty good. I mean, I'm going to give this, I'm going to go ahead and give it 5 shits.
Wow.
This is
a lot of shit.
I mean, I'm trying to think of movies I've enjoyed more this year. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim definitely would get 5 shits.
It was more enjoyable, but I don't know if it was more entertaining. I've seen a lot of good movies this year, but I'm going to have to say 5. Yeah, I'll give it 5 shits.
I'll give it 3 out of 5 because...
What other problems did you have with it?
Well, I hated the ending. I thought the ending was terrible. They should have ended it with him running himself dead to save that girl.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. You run the horse dead, he runs himself dead,
and saves her.
And it was so, powerful and emotional.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it by just not following through with that.
I kind of thought that's where they were going, because I quickly saw that they were going to diverge from the ending of the previous Hollywood movie with John Wayne and make it maybe less happy. And I thought that would be... that would have been very symmetrical, that he ran the old horse to death, literally to death.
And he literally is an old horse.
Yeah, and run himself to death. He'd die right at the footsteps of that general store.
Because, I mean, that theme was sprinkled throughout the entire movie. I mean, you've got the juxtaposition of this very, very young girl and this very, very old gunslinger.
Right.
You've got everything she was talking about at time at the end, which I wish they would have taken out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, constantly through the whole thing, you can tell he is out of his prime. Like, when they're shooting the cornbread, that scene, the scene right before it, actually, where they do the ambush on the guys at the cabin.
Right.
You could see that he was not in his prime. He was missing those guys left and right.
He would have killed them all.
Exactly.
He killed most of them.
He killed most of them.
But he missed a shot or two.
And I think the next scene with the cornbread was for the audience to let them know that that wasn't just the distance and the difficulty in shooting.
Right.
That was him not being as effective as he should have been.
Although still, my God, he did nail one of those pieces of cornbread out of the sky. That's no joke.
He did. And that was on the draw, too.
I've seen one of my uncles do that with a .22 after about 10 times of trying. and I was still pretty damn impressed that you hit a beer bottle in the air with a pistol. But that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could tell he's slipped a bit, and he's a drunk.
Got the Texas Ranger, Matt Damon, who is in his prime. I mean, he's actually, he knows all about tracking, he knows all about
But he might be
shooting.
A little bit of a dandy.
Yes, he is, and he's on his high horse, he's very full of himself, but he is in his prime, and he is what the Big Lebowski was in his prime.
Rooster
Cockburn,
Ruben. Maybe 10-15 years more of seasoning, and he'll pick up the grizzled, the take no mercy aspect.
Yep, and the drinking. Yeah, although I did think the scenes with him drinking on the horse were hilarious. I mean,
I can't believe he didn't like that dark humor, though, where he swears that he's going to give that guy a decent burial, and then the guy dies, and she's like, but you promised that you'd go to a decent burial. He's like, if he wanted to beat decent Barrow, should have died in the summer.
Should have got himself killed in summer.
Yeah,
whatever.
Killed in the summer.
No, I did like that. That was after the fact. I don't like the stuff where they hit you with this very grisly reality, and then they joke about it. It's the same thing I didn't like about the Walking Dead episode, where Glenn makes the joke right after they cover themselves in human flesh. Mm.
I don't know, man. It seems to be a human tendency to make find dark humor when in a bad situation like that.
I guess. I mean, I've never been in a situation quite that horrible, so I wouldn't know. But I don't know. Not my thing. So 3 out of 5 shits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think who had the better performance, John Wayne or Jeff Bridges?
Oh, I have to say Jeff Bridges. I mean, I know John Wayne is, like, classic, and he's considered one of the best Western actors.
But he just pretty much played John Wayne. That's the thing about John Wayne, is he has more range than people give him credit for, but he still just plays John Wayne. He can be John Wayne sad, he can be John Wayne happy, he can be John Wayne angry.
Yeah.
But he still, I mean, unlike, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who really can only convincingly portray murderous... Mm-hmm. Like unfeeling killing machine.
Yep.
Like anytime he seems happy in a movie, I'm like, that's dude acting.
That's fake.
I've seen him legitimately happy in real life.
Yeah.
And he seems like a jovial guy. But no, and when he's acting, he's like, he's just like that scene. I just keep thinking about that scene of him being father and daughter
and
with
Commando.
Alyssa Milano, and it's just like,
yeah,
holy shit,
it's creepy. It's genuinely creepy.
It's like watching a robot go into the uncanny valley. Arnold Schwarzenegger lives in the uncanny valley.
Although Jeff Bridges to me does not have a whole ton of range, he always comes across as Jeffrey Lebowski in everything I see him in.
Oh really? Even this?
Not in this though. Gonna say this is the one piece where I feel he really stretched himself, and while I do get hints of the Jeff Bridges acting, I definitely felt like he did a great job covering it up.
I really want to see that Wild Heart that came out last year.
Oh, that is so good. That's actually another one where he does a really good job.
So you've seen that. It's like, man, you're selling the dude short. Jesus.
No, you're right. But those are the only two performances I've seen a lot of his movies. I mean, both Trons and even in the latest Tron, he comes across as Jeff, as the Big Lebowski.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. What else did you think? Because you said, as we were walking home, I wanted to talk and make some observations, and you're like, save it for the cast. And he's like, and you said, I know what you want to say. I was curious, what did you think I was going to say?
We were going to talk about Jeff Bridges' performance. You were going on about that or starting to.
I was about to say, I couldn't believe that he out John Wayne.
Ah, yeah.
But I think in reality, he just out Rooster Cockburned John Wayne. He was a much better fit for that grizzled, world-weary, kind of amoral character.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting to see Matt Damon. Was that real facial hair on Matt Damon?
I don't know, because Matt Damon is... I really like him as an actor.
I do, too. He's really good.
When I think of everything that he's been and done, he's still not a badass, but he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Very good. In not just a leading man, but a character actor. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah, he can do both.
A leading man and a very good, like, Gary Oldman-type character actor.
Yeah, or George Clooney. George Clooney does that well.
Yeah, true. Russell Crowe's another one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw him in, what's the math movie?
Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind, yeah. That was cool. Okay. What, you have anything else to say about True Grit? Or should we get out of here?
I think that'll do.
Okay.
How does it work as a badass movie? Because I think it's actually pretty high up on the masculine meter.
The masculine meter, yeah. The badass and masculine meter don't necessarily run parallel there.
True.
But it's middle of the road. Like, it's not a Terminator role, but it's not Bridges of Madison County either. So,
no, right.
I mean, it's somewhere in the middle.
I think
maybe a little higher up the scale than normal.
I think it ranks higher, and there's a lot of, there's so many good quotes in that movie. I need to see it again and kind of like make, because I'd actually like to incorporate some of those things into my my daily jargon, because there's just some really
good stuff. Fill your hands, you son of a bitch.
There's just a lot of good one-liners and the stuff he says about the Texas Rangers, especially when Matt Damon basically says, I'm going to kill you if you make fun of Texas Rangers one last time. And you see it cuts to Rooster, and he's like kind of reclining by, and you kind of almost think that he's maybe like, whoa, this guy's got some balls.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 5 seconds. He's like, so how long you boys been riding sheep down there anyway? It's like, wow, yeah. He just doesn't give a fuck. It's like, draw. I don't care.
There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. What were we just discussing? Because I was trying to keep it in my head. I lost it.
Matt Damon.
Okay.
Matt Damon. We're talking, no, I don't know.
What did you feel about them not using any contractions whatsoever during their speech?
You know, I was about to say that there was something peculiar in the way they spoke.
That was it.
And was that just a Wild West thing? Was that like the Plains talk?
I don't know. I was going to see if you had any insight on if that's a real thing. Like if people back then just didn't use contractions, they hadn't been made up yet.
Oh, I'm sure they've been made up, but I just wonder if that's a particular
like a dialect?
Oddity about the dialect up there. Because I don't think contractions are like, I mean, the way they talk more like proper speech. And
exactly. Like I was thinking,
it might
country
be an affectation.
Whatever.
It might be an affectation because, like, most people in regional dialects know how to speak properly. Mm-hmm. They just don't. Maybe they just decided to speak ultra as a, you know, that was their ghetto language or their patois. But that was odd. But I also just want to give a shout out to, I'm not a history buff. I don't know, but I really, really enjoyed how authentic everything looked. Like, they mm-hmm. really sweated the details and made stuff look old and lived in, and the firearms looked really, really good. And I also thought that I like how they just casually mentioned pieces of history, like when Rooster and the Ranger were having a fight about who was in what unit in the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just, like, take it for the audience is going to keep, going to be able to just figure out by context mm-hmm. that, you know, how the insults are going to work, even though you kind of needed the context.
Sure, and I don't know much about the Civil War, so I didn't get any of that, but
you still...
I appreciate the fact that they didn't give you a history lesson in the middle of this movie.
Right, and it was very, and I always think specific equals funny. And yeah. That made it funnier when they were, like, needling each other about their military record.
Yeah, I bet, like, Civil War buffs were just cracking up during that.
They were
like, oh, he's so right, the North Carolina Army, they're
right,
bullshit,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
Like, I don't know, but I'm sure they were. Okay, that's all I've got.
All right. Yeah.
That's it. All right. With that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.